for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thanksgiving weekend, deliverance, and teaching seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Friday afternoon, November the 23rd, 1984. And Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon. This is a deliverance service.
And you're going to be really blessed. Are you people real warm back there? I think maybe if you'll open the back door and pop it open for a few minutes, it'll get some. Are all doors open? Okay. It'll cool off in a minute then. The sun's going to go down in a few minutes. It'll cool off.
You can't shut a wood furnace off. Shut gas off. And we appreciate the wood furnace because it saves hundreds of dollars on our gas bill. And we appreciate it. We've got the largest wood furnace. I don't know, maybe there's a bigger one now, but the time we bought it, it's the largest wood furnace that was available that's in the basement here. We heat with wood, and we also have 6, 7, 8 gas furnaces, 10 thin gas furnaces in this building besides the wood. And those are expensive, so that's what makes it a little warm in here. We can't turn the air conditioning on and cool you down because the ductwork is so fixed that we have to completely alter the ductwork for the air conditioning against the furnace. So, anyway, this afternoon, for a little while, Irma and I are going to talk to you about some things that are involved in our lives, and some of it is there because of our doings. Some of it's there because of our ancestors and because of the sins of our ancestors that are visited upon us because the word of the Lord says that it will be so. And basically what we're going to talk about are things that we have experienced either ourselves or by praying with other people. We're not talking to you about theory. There are times of theory. But I'd rather have somebody talk to me who has experienced what they're talking about or who has been involved in what they're talking about, so that what they're talking about is not theory, but it's something that they're... You can't talk me out of what I have experienced or have seen happen or have been present when it's happened, you see. You can't tell me that it didn't happen. You can't tell me it's not so. You can't tell me it can't be because I was there when it happened. And you can't change me. You might not believe me. That's possible. But you still can't change my mind because I was there when it happened, you see. So there's a lot of controversy about deliverance and about demons and Christians can't and bloodline and Holy Ghost can't dwell in the same temple where the devil is and all of this. Well, and the scripture tells us that salt water and pure water shouldn't come out of the same fountain, but it does. See, and I wish it were true but we're working to that end. That's the purpose that God is calling all of us to seek, to desire to come to the place without spot and wrinkle. And as we come and seek the Lord to come to that place, then little by little He opens up and shows us areas of our lives that need to be changed and need to be altered, need to be cleaned up. We need to forgive somebody. We need to repent of something. And you say, well, I got saved. Yes, you got saved. Your spirit got saved. But you'll find down through your walk, a Christian walk, that the closer you seek to come to know the Lord and to follow after Him, the more these little things will crop up and the Lord will deal with you about, and you've got to take care of them if you're going to walk on any farther with the Lord. And you say, well, that's contrary to my teaching. Well, it's contrary to mine too. But I have found, contrary to my teaching, that reality I must look at. And there are, we've dealt with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and who have had and still have problems. Because you're prayed for doesn't mean that you're free of all your problems. But it's a start, and it's a road to walk on, seeking to come to the place before the Lord that you're without spot and wrinkle, where your garment is white, and you can stand there before the Lord without anything that hinders you. in your praise and worship. And that's what we're seeking for. That's what the Lord is seeking for in us, a people who desire him more than life. And in desiring him, they'll seek to find the way of truth. And we're learning the way of truth. A little here and a little there, we're learning every day. By circumstances and by conditions and things that happen to us, the Lord is revealing his word to us, and we're learning. I do not understand all the things that I have learned, all the things I've experienced. I don't understand them all. I am not able to explain them all to you. Even though it's happened to me or I've been present, I cannot explain it satisfactorily to you, because there's some things I can't fully satisfactorily explain to myself that I have been part of or have participated in or something, but I know that it was the Lord. I know it was the Lord. And so therefore, I believe it, whether I can explain it to you or not, I believe it. And that's the way we need to take the things of the Lord. We need to say, Lord, if it's of you, I believe it. And if it's of you, I want it. I might not understand it. I may not be able at the present time to explain it to somebody else. But Lord, I want it. And that's the way deliverance is. Deliverance is something that we walk in a little here and a little there daily, seeking a closer walk with the Lord. And as things crop up, then we take care of that thing. And something else, we take care of that. And we get rid of this, and we get rid of that. We get rid of torment, we get rid of fear, we get rid of rejection. We get rid of all these things that Christians have. I must just be frank, we've got them, or we've had them. And the Lord is helping us to become delivered and free from them. Some of them are attitudes, and some of them aren't. Some of them are demonic beings that have a legal right to us for various reasons. There's all kinds of different reasons. No one pattern or one condition will apply to more than maybe one or two circumstances or situations. And there's another condition for another reason. Satan is a legalist. And every place he has a legal right, he holds that legal right until it's taken away from him, until his power is broken by the blood of Jesus and in the name and authority of the Lord Jesus. That's where the authority is. It's nothing in you or in me. It's our ability to use the name of the Lord Jesus, which he's given unto us. He said, I give you my name to use. Take in my name, and in my name, go heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils in my name. And that's where our authority lies. It only lies as we use the authority of the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lord Jesus. In those things, we have protection and authority in the name of Jesus and by his blood. And there is no fear. No one should have any fear of demon spirits. Or they will, from time to time, they will put on a show and they will act. But there's nothing to be afraid of. And the only way that you need to fear demon spirits is if you make fun of what God's doing delivering somebody. Now, if you make fun and you make light of it, you've opened the door to receive every evil spirit that's in the area or that is being cast out of the person that's being worked with. You're opening the door. Do not ever, under any condition, make light of deliverance or demonic spirits. Because when you do, you open the door there to receive everything that's present. Evil spirits, if the children belong to adults who are Christians, and even if they're not Christians, evil spirits will not enter them. Because in here and in other places where deliverance is administered, we take authority and have the dominion to take and the right to take authority over evil spirits and bind them so that they can harm nobody that's present. Even though they may try to put on a show and act like they do, and some of you have seen, and if you haven't, in time to come, if you work within deliverance and helping people, you will see them try it. But you don't have to be afraid. Just say, in Jesus' name, I bind your power, and they will have to obey you. And I'm praying and looking for the day when that authority is given to us, when by the mass, people will be set free and delivered, be healed and restored. And that day's coming. That day's coming. As God is raising up what some of us call sons of God, or even you might say manifested sons of God, but some people get afraid of that term, or whatever, but there's still a truth there. There's still a truth. And don't put it aside because it's been overdone somewhere and somebody's claimed that they're something and then they didn't produce what they claimed to be, so you say there's nothing to it. Let's not do that. Let's take what there is and let's present it in a rightful way. Now, I don't know any manifested sons of God. I don't know any. Now, I think that Peter was one, because I think when he walked down the street, you know, people were healed from his shadow and like that. I believe Peter was. But I don't know any in the land today. So don't get upset and perturbed that somebody's a manifested son of God, because if there are any, I haven't met them yet. So let's not get hung up on that term and be afraid of it. But this afternoon, I'm going to talk for a few minutes, and then Irma's going to come and talk, and we're going to talk about abominable things and the occult. And there are many abominable things and many aspects, and I'm not going to get into but just a couple of them this afternoon, which is in relationship to occult, to the occult, basically. And so we'll look at that, and then turn with me over to Joshua chapter 6. Sixth chapter of Joshua. Joshua 6, verse 18. Joshua 6 and 18 says, "And you, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the cursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Now, let's turn over to chapter 7 and let's see what happened when somebody disobeyed this commandment. Verse 1 of chapter 7 says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in a cursed thing." Now, you notice that it says the children of Israel. Starts out, it takes in the whole congregation. "For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." So when we partake of something that's contrary to the word of the Lord, we not only affect ourselves, but the end result is that we affect others as well. So when you do something that's contrary to the word of the Lord, you not only bring a curse upon yourself by doing something that's accursed, that God says is abomination to him, you also affect those who are around about you, and you also get a curse on your life, which the Lord tells us will follow, and if it's in the line of the occult, and that's which we're looking at this afternoon, the Lord tells us will follow to the third and the fourth generation. So, but when we allow ourselves to get involved in things that are contrary to the word of the Lord, we're not only bringing a detriment on our own lives, but we're affecting the lives of those about us as well as our family. And that is what happened here. It says, "The children of Israel committed a trespass, yet only Achan did it." And at the time, it doesn't even say here that his wife or family was aware of it. But the whole tribe is cursed because of Achan's sin. Verse 4, it says, "So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibrim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide." Joshua was repenting before the Lord for the people, even though he didn't know what was wrong. He was interceding. "He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" Now here Joshua is sounding like the complaining Israelites that have been complaining for 40 years. Joshua is sounding just like them here. Said, "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. And many of God's people, in fact, most all of us, either have or have had some type of accursed thing in our lives or in our homes that God cannot bless us in areas of our lives because we have allowed the accursed thing which God says that's accursed to be taken into our lives or into our homes, and we have a curse on upon our house, and we have poverty, and we have depression, and we have all kinds of problems because we are not aware of the accursed thing that we have in our house, which will not allow the blessing of the Lord to rest in our household. This afternoon, we're going to deal with some of the things that God says are accursed things that you're not to bring into your house. We cannot have other gods before us. And a lot of us have other gods before us in our homes, and we do not realize that there's things that God calls an abomination, and that because of it, we do not have the blessing of the Lord in our homes, in our families, because we have accursed things that God calls abomination in our homes. And most everybody I know, who once they find out that they've got something in their home that God says is accursed, they immediately want to get rid of it. And that's the way we should all be. We should not say, well, I don't believe that. We should obey and hear the word of the Lord. And I'm not standing here talking to you about things that I can't speak from experience, from dealing and helping to clean out people's houses and the problems that they have. And when things are removed from their homes, immediately the whole situation changes. Because the things that they've had in their homes, God says, an abomination to him, and he can't bless your house if you have these things in it. That's an abomination. In verse 24 here of chapter 7, it says, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and all the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Now you see, it wasn't just Achan that's going to suffer. All Israel suffered, and 36 men died because of Achan's sin in the house, in the camp of the Lord. Now then, all of Achan's household is going to suffer because of Achan's sin, his rebellion against the word of the Lord. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from his fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, I know immediately that some of you are saying, but we live under grace today. That's true. We don't stone people today because we live under grace. But that didn't change God's law that he detests things and things are abomination to him and that he will not have other gods before him. But he does give us grace. And if it wasn't for his grace, every one of us here should have been stoned by now. Every single one of us. There's not a person in this room that could say before God that I haven't done something that the word of the Lord says that I should have been stoned for if I didn't live under grace. So we live under grace. We can thank and praise the Lord for it and rejoice in that grace. Because the Lord is our salvation. Jesus came, gave us grace that we don't have to be under that part of the law. But that didn't change the law that says that God will not have an abominable thing before him or other gods before him. That didn't change that. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 18. Says, thou shalt not be afraid of them. That's the enemy. But shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh, or Satan, which he represented, and unto all his demons in Egypt. Satan and all, Pharaoh and all of his horde is a pattern or example of Satan and his demon powers. So the Lord destroyed them. And today the Lord is again destroying Pharaoh and all his horde. The great temptation which thine eyes saw, and the sin, signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. The Lord is bringing us out today, and he's delivering us. And he's doing unto all the problems that we have as we bring them unto the Lord. He's delivering us from them and setting us free. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted of them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. People say, well, I'd like to get all delivered and get it over with. Well, so would I. But the Lord says he's going to drive them out little by little so that we're able to handle it and so that we can replace what is taken out. We can replace it with the Holy Spirit, and we can replace it with the Word of the Lord, and there will not be a vacuum there for demonic powers to come back to. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven, demonic powers and principalities. There shall no man be able to stand before thee, as we use the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, until thou hast destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Maybe some of you have heard the testimony of James Robinson in relation to Colin Davis and the artifacts that Colin Davis gave James Robinson to turn into cash to use to pay off some of his TV indebtedness. But if you haven't, I'll restate it here briefly for you. Colin Davis gave James Robinson a little over $1 million worth of Eastern artifacts, pagodas and Buddhas and different things like that came from the Orient, which had been dedicated and were actually heathen gods as well as being dedicated to heathen gods. On the way over to Colin Davis's house, James Robinson was reading the Bible. Somebody was driving the car for him, or somebody was going with him, and he was reading the Bible. And he turned and opened the Bible to read, just to read. He's writing along, and he read just what I have just finished reading to you. And he read it, and he looked at it again, and he said to the man with him, he said, "My goodness." He said, and he read it out loud to him, and he said, "We're going over to get graven images. We can't receive them. The Word says that they're an abomination. And if they're an abomination to God, they're an abomination to me, and I can't accept them." So when he got over to Colin's house, he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I appreciate your offer, but I can't accept it." And he said, "Well, why?" He got the Bible and showed him in the Bible, these last two verses here of Deuteronomy 7. And he said, "Well, if they're an abomination to God and you can't have them," he said, "I can't either." He said, "Come on, let's take care of them." And they went and got some hammers and sledgehammers or whatever, took them out on the concrete, broke them all up, and destroyed the whole million-some dollars worth of artifacts right there. Do you know that God blessed James Robinson and Colin Davis over and over again because of that? You say, "Well, that went $1 million. No, that was an abomination to God. He said, "You don't have the silver nor the gold of it. He said, "You burn it with fire, you destroy it." And God requires the same of us sitting here in this congregation this afternoon. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. He says we're not to touch him. We're not to bring him into our house. Some of the things that, there's a lot of things that we have in our houses that are abominations. I'll touch on a few of them. Irma will get back to some more of them. But Mexican sun gods, they're an abomination to God. If you have a little statue of Buddha in your house, you've got a heathen god in your house. Or any of the Shinto gods. If you have a shrine, a pagoda, these little pagodas, they're in fish aquariums with fish. Almost every fish aquarium has a little pagoda in it. It's a shrine to a heathen god. And if you have those in your house, they're an abomination to God. The thing that's called an Italian horn that you wear around your neck or on a chain, that's an abomination to God. That's a sign that you have Satan to supply your finances for you. That's what that means, that you have Satan to help you with your finances. There are many kinds of crosses that are an abomination to God. The burning of incense is an abomination to God. And most of the incense that you buy or that you get It's manufactured and sold by the Hare Krishna people. They manufacture it, most of it. Some of it comes from the Orient, but they now are manufacturing most of the incense that is on the market today in America. It's abomination to God, and he's not pleased with it. While I'm talking about abominations, I'll touch on a couple of more that will cause some controversy. But a Christmas tree is an abomination to God. The lights and decorations on it are an abomination to God. The very word Easter is an abomination to God. It doesn't mean anything to do with Jesus Christ at all. It means the Queen of Heaven, Esther. That's what it stands for. It's a takeoff of her name, of Esther. And it means the Queen of Heaven. And it has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever. The very word of Easter is abomination to God. And the Easter Bunny, that means that's to the worship of the goddess of fertility. Easter eggs are to the goddess of fertility. And when you participate in all these things, you're bringing an abomination, a heathen god, into your home. And you're teaching your children to worship a heathen god when you do these things. And you say, well, you really shook me up. We need to be shook up. And what I'm telling you is a fact, and it's a truth, and it's in the word of the Lord. You can find the Christmas tree in the Bible. You can find the ornaments in the Bible. You can find the hot cross bun in the Bible. God says that they cut evergreen trees and decked them with silver and gold to their heathen god. And they made hot cross buns to Tammuz, to worship Tammuz. Who was Tammuz? Tammuz was the supposedly a son of Nimrod, whose wife was Esther or Semiramis, Nimrod's wife, Semiramis and Tammuz. And she called him, made him the son like Jesus. That's where the mother and the child came from. It didn't came from Jesus, Mary, and Jesus, the mother and the child. It came clear back from Babylon, and it was worshipped long before ever Jesus came on the earth. The mother and the child was worshipped, these things are abomination to God, and we don't realize this, and we have them in our homes, and we bring these things into our house. Why? Tradition, and I'm just as guilty as anybody sitting here. So don't think that anybody here is pious and removed from all of these things. Because I've been, have been, and probably are in other areas that I'm not aware of yet, just as guilty in something else that I don't understand yet. Valentine's Day, an abomination to God. Valentine's Day is a worship of sex. And the heart and the arrow stand, what the heart and the arrow stand for. If you study it and look it up in your encyclopedia, and possibly even the dictionary, but in your encyclopedia tell you that the heart and the arrow stands for a male and female sex organ. And that's what it represents, the goddess of sex, Valentine's Day. And, of course, we all know what Halloween stands for. It's a worship of Satan, Halloween. But I've just been, when I was Sunday school superintendent in California, I threw the biggest Halloween shindig you ever saw in your life. There ain't nobody ever throwed one bigger than we used to have. We had the witch's tunnel. We had the goblins. We had everything that went with it. But I'm sorry that I led all those people astray. Because it was a worship to Satan, is what it was. And I was ignorant of it. Lord, forgive me. I repent of it. And ask you, Lord, to cleanse the hearts of those that I helped to get involved in it, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, and forgive them. And help us, Lord, to realize these things and to stand against them and to turn from our wicked way, that we'll not be involved in these things and turn from our wicked way. Well, Irma, come on and pick up here. Someplace where I've left you.
Praise the Lord. Well, deliverance is very real because I have experienced it time and time again, and I still want a lot more deliverance because I want to be able to walk into perfection, and I want to be able to have the total anointing of the Lord so that no matter what we pray about, people will be healed, people will be set free, people will be delivered. Now, we have wonderful response here, and God is answering our prayers constantly. But we still want to be more perfected and have more of the anointing of God than we have ever had before. And I think last night, I don't think she's in here today, but you probably all heard the story, or most of you have, of the girl that had cancer and weighed 68 pounds. And she had written us a letter. I did not know her exactly. I knew her mother. She was a married woman. And she had cancer and had gone down, and I didn't know how bad she was or even that she even, what was wrong with her. But she wrote a letter once and said to me, would you please pray for me? I'm sick. And as I would drive to town, I would pray for her, and as I'd go by the house. But one day, the power of God hit me. I wish it were on me all the time. It was like a tent of glory, totally enveloping me. And I went by her house, I knew the Lord wanted me to go in there and pray for her, but I didn't obey him at the time. And I went on to town and did some errands, came back to the grocery store and parked. And when I got down to the grocery store door, this glory cloud came down over me totally, and I was just like fire blazing inside of me and all around me. And I knew I'd better go and pray for that girl, because if I didn't obey the Lord, I didn't know what might happen, and I didn't really know how sick she was. So I turned around from the grocery store, went back to my car, and came back out toward home. And when I got there, I noticed her mother's car was there, and I was really glad about that. And her father answered the door, and he was crying, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Well, they gave her up this morning." I said, "Gave her up? What is the matter with her? She had a little three-year-old child, young, married to a lawyer." And so he said, "Well, she's back in the bedroom with her mother. Go on back there." And when I walked in, I wasn't ready to handle what I saw. However, the power of God was like a sheath coming down over my head like fire. And when I walked in, having known before that she was a Nazarene, but I never even thought about it, because out of my innermost being came these words: "I don't know how to pray for you in English. I will have to pray for you in tongues." And she said, "That'll be all right," because sitting in the middle of the bed, propped up, she looked like a little old witch. She really did. All shriveled up, 68-pound woman. And as I prayed for her, the Holy Spirit just prayed through me. And it was like the virtue of the Lord was just coming right down and through and out through this arm. And I had my hand on her head. And God miraculously healed that girl and restored her. She was here last night, trying to lose weight now. Weighs 100. That's been 7 or 8 years ago. And as her mother left after I prayed, her mother went home and said, "You stay here." She said, "Come around and sit on this side of the bed." And I had been standing up. And when I turned around, in behind me, the whole wall was covered with big, beautiful paintings of nothing but owls. And I had never seen this scripture, as James Robinson has probably read over that scripture. He had never seen it before. But, you know, God reveals things to us that we may read and read and read, but when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty, he'll make a scripture real to us by the Spirit. And I saw those owls, and I heard myself say again, "Oh, my, those things are making you sick. That's what's making you sick. They look like Satan himself. Every one of them just looked like Satan when I looked at them." And she said, "Oh, yes. That big one over there, when you prayed in tongues, he's so mad, he's looking so mean at me." And I heard myself again say, "He's the king in here, and he must be gotten rid of." Now, I'm not in the habit of going into people's houses and telling them, "Get rid of this and get rid of that." At that time, I wasn't up with it at all. I had no idea what the Lord was doing. I had no idea about this scripture. But when I came home, I started looking in the Bible about owls, and then I came on this scripture about abominable things. And to make a long story short, that girl removed all of those things out of her house, and she is well today. Now, you're saying in your mind, "Is that what causes cancer?" Well, it might be. I think it does to a degree. It causes sicknesses, not because of owls necessarily, but it is listed as one of the abominable things. And we're told right here very clearly, don't bring any abominable thing into your house. She also had lots of frogs, a collection of frogs. She had owls all over that house. In a few days, we went up and cleaned out the whole house, her mother and I and her. I mean, she had everything imaginable. And God mightily healed her and delivered her. And that started us on looking in various areas of the Old Testament. You know, we have been taught so long, you only pay attention to the New Testament. No, you don't pay attention to the Old Testament. But that isn't true, because the same people who used to tell us that used to read Psalms 23 at every funeral, and Psalms 91 every time an earthquake was coming. So you see, that doesn't hold water. The reason the children of Israel were never sick in the wilderness, you know why? Well, that's one of the reasons, but they were grumblers and everything else. But the night they left Egypt, they ate the whole lamb. And this is the whole lamb, Genesis to Revelation. They ate it all. And there was not a feeble one among them. You know, it really is bad when we Christians are always sick. And there's got to be a cause for it. I was talking to somebody the other day, a doctor over at involved with some doctors at ORU. And he said, we're starting to look into the causes of all these sicknesses and illnesses. And I think God is revealing it to many of us, the causes. When Glenn brought up about Valentine's Day, I have a whole article I'm going to print in the January magazine on Valentine's Day. It is one of the main causes of lupus. And you know some people, I'm sure, that have lupus. He is the king of... What's the name of it, Charlene? Lupercalia. The god Lupercalia is the god of lupus. We must come down to the nitty-gritty of things. We've played church too long. We've been sick too long. There's too many people that die at a young age. And God is going to reveal this. And as we seek the Lord, I believe he's going to show us exactly what the abominable things are. Now, you heard James Robinson's testimony. We've gone to Brother Green's meetings, deliverance meetings. All he does for 3 solid days, from 8 in the morning until 5 in the evening, is read the Word of God to us. That's all he does. And when he finishes, about 3 o'clock the third afternoon, he begins to have a mass deliverance service. We're healed by the Word of God. We have too long not delved into the Word of God. And I believe in the last 10 years, there's more studying of the Word of God than there has ever been. And we need more of it, and more of it, and more of it. And God is opening up things. And I remember a few years ago, a very large, if I call it by name, you know, in Western United States, we were at a camp meeting, Northern California. And in the afternoon, between lunch and the 3 o'clock meeting, Glenn and I went back to our motel, and I fell asleep. And the Lord gave me a vision. I don't have very many dreams, and I don't have very many visions, and we don't run on dreams and visions around here. But this was brought to my mind the other day, and I just thought I would rehearse it to you. In this dream, there was a big platform of preachers sitting on the platform, and there was a whole congregation out in front. And all of a sudden, a pack of wolves came into the congregation and started slaughtering the sheep and wounding them, and there was blood all over, and people were crying and screaming and moaning and hurting. And that was the end of the vision. I thought, what in the world does that mean? I had no idea what it meant. And that very night, in the meeting, were all of the ministers of their organization. Now, it wasn't the Full Gospel Businessmen, because we used to travel with them. It was another organization, wonderful organization. They were all up on the platform, the ministers. And that night, there were several manifestations of evil spirits in the audience because the power of God was so strong. When the power of God gets so strong, it's a normal thing for manifestations. Now, if you're not tuned in to the Spirit, you may not even notice. You may not even realize when people talk to you sometimes that it's really a demon talking out of them. Until the Lord will open up your spiritual senses so you understand and you hear. Many times I walk up to people and a voice comes right out of them and it's not them. It's something like, I hate you. Get away from her. Some voice like that will come right out of the people. And if you ask them, what did you say? They'll say, I didn't say anything. It's kind of eerie, isn't it? But anyway, this particular night, there were several people at the end of the altar call. It was a wonderful sermon by a wonderful minister. And a few people came up to be prayed for. And a minister sitting down on the front, that I don't know if he's with the group or not, but anyway, he came up to help pray. And we were up there just sort of watching and praying. And he began to pray for the secretary of their lawyer. And because she was having manifestations, voices were speaking right out of her, and it didn't make any sense. And this preacher said, what is your name, evil power? What is your name? Give me your name. In the name of Jesus, I command you to give me your name. And this voice came right out of her. A man's voice came right out of her and said, there's 100 of us in here. Which name would you like? And that was sort of earth-shaking. And one of the head men up on the platform came down, and he said, all right, this is enough. That's only a manifestation. Don't pay any attention to that. And he broke up the whole prayer meeting. And I saw what it meant when the wolves come in, the pack of wolves come into a congregation. There's people in here hurting this afternoon, that the enemy, the wolf, has been chewing on you, tormenting you, hurting you. And God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. Now, we are destroying, the Bible says, because of lack of knowledge. I had no idea, 7 or 8 years ago, when I walked in that girl's house, the impact that that experience was going to have on me. And I wouldn't want to have to endure it every day, because it was a spirit that was very, very strong when it left her. But anyway, she was healed. When we get rid of the causes, we're going to be healed. Now, we don't know most of the time what causes, what is causing us, unless we seek God, or unless a man of God or a woman of God, the Holy Spirit shows them what it is. Now, recently, three different places in different sections of the country, executives have talked to us that are executives in big firms, and they are being forced to go away to seminars to study mind control in the New Age movement. Now, mind control, don't say for 1 minute it isn't powerful. When the enemy can take over our minds, he's got us. And this one man told me 2 weeks ago, he said, I go away 5 times a year to study, and they're forcing us to study Scientology and other mind control things so we can control the employees under us. Now, you see, a little bit of that may not hurt you, but it will eat away at you and eat away at you and watch you and study you. And when you get to a weak moment, it's going to affect you. And I said, oh my, what are you going to do about it? Because we had a case here in this town, a lovely, lovely chiropractor girl. And she played the organ uptown in one of the Pentecostal churches and sang and was just a beautiful person. Had, I imagine, the most thriving business in the whole town. She was busy with Christians, popping their necks and getting them back in place and their backs, and she was very, very good. And somebody, in her overworked condition, got her involved with Scientology. Some man, I don't know who it was, she came out here once or twice for prayer, and one time she did get so far as to, I told her, you must get rid of those books, and she brought 3 very thick books out here for us to burn. But that very night, that man had such a grip on her. Some people are so hungry for big revelation that they go up on this wrong limb, you know, and the enemy saws it off. And that poor girl today, her business is closed down. She was in the hospital in the mental ward for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now, I know what it is to be in a mental ward. I'm not talking up here a bunch of nonsense. I've been there. And maybe you think I still belong there. I don't know. Some of my old friends do. And that was way back in the 50s. But I'm telling you, I was a total vegetable, and Jesus brought me out of it. And I praise God for that. And I know now what caused it. I didn't know then. We didn't know one iota about a demon. My dad has been an Assembly of God minister, was for 50 years. I didn't know one iota about a demon. My dad has been an Assembly of God minister, was for 50 years. And we didn't know one thing about the devil or demons until 1965 or 66, right about the time we met the Camerons. The Lord started bringing us into various realms of the spiritual things. And I think we really got down to business with God about that time. We've been good Christians, as Glenn said. We had big Halloween parties at our house for the Sunday school, and we're church leaders. But we didn't know much about how to help people. Even when we would have problems, we'd have to call my parents from the Middle West and pay their way. In those days, they rode the train, the Santa Fe train. We'd have to call them out there to pray for us, because we didn't know how to pray for ourselves. And you know, sometimes it's easier to pay people to pray than it is to get down to business and pray yourself. And that's the way we were in those days. But anyway, God started leading and showing us about evil powers and evil spirits. And I want to get right back on this mind control thing. We were also, I think we were on the West Coast. I can't remember exactly whose place we were, but a man brought me a notebook and showed me this mind control business, how he is an executive and he's having to study it himself. And he asked us what we thought about it. Well, you know, you hate to come right out and say, quit your job. That's not our business to do that. But we told him the effects it might have on him, and I don't know how it came out. And just a couple of weeks ago, Well, we were over in Ohio, and I know these girls from Ohio know the man, but he told me that five times a year he has to go to study Scientology and other mind control, soul travel. And it's real. Of course it's real. Eckankar is real. All these things are real because Satan is a real thing. He's a real thing. But anyway, I want to read to you from Deuteronomy 18 for just a minute. Deuteronomy 18, the ninth verse. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, the ninth verse, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, some of you older people, like Glenn and I, who lived before World War II, we did not have the sin in this nation that we have today. And neither did we have the abominable things in this nation. Most of it has come in from the Orient because of the war. Come in from World War II and the Korean War. And these things have come in to our nation. And people have brought them in. And I remember one fellow telling me that he brought a picture in, some kind of a mural. I suppose it wasn't a bad picture. But on the back of it, it was dedicated to Buddha. And that night, after he got home and hung it on the wall in his nice home with his wife and children, what was it? Flames came out of it, didn't it?
It lit up.
It just lit up. It wasn't on fire, as we know fire, but it all just lit up. And he had to take it out of his house because it frightened him. You see, we don't have any business. Frank Hammond used to always say, don't be going into curio shops and buying a lot of that stuff. You don't need it anyway, and most of it is abominable. It says, when thou comest to the land, don't take up with all these things. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, that's fortune telling, soothsaying, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, a magician, or a witch, hypnotist, medium, psychics, all of that, or a charmer. For all that do these things are an abomination. All that do these things, Christians are not. They are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. I think, probably, he wants me to read the 13th verse, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Now, I think it was around 1970, Derek Prince came and stayed 10 days in our home, Dr. Prince. And he had deliverance services every morning and every night in some churches in the San Fernando Valley where we live. And one day he said to Glenn and I, you're both under the power of a fortune teller. So we said, well, we don't want to be, and we've never been to a fortune teller, but would you pray for us? And he said, well, yes, I want to pray for you, but he said, I think it's coming from your past generation. Well, my parents were ministers, and Glenn's parents had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1922, and my parents had received it, all of us received it in 1932. So we didn't know where it was coming from, but when he prayed for me, it was like a whole tent lifted off of me. I could see better, think better, hear better. Just woke up. I just simply woke up. And I thought, where in the world did this come from, and how did I get this? And I told him, I had read a few horoscopes, but I never did believe them. And he says, well, that's not exactly where this is coming from, but you shouldn't read those either. And then when he prayed for Glenn, another tent lifted off of me, and I could even see better. Well, a few days later, after he left, my mother-in-law came over. Now, it was a very strange thing. She goes to all kinds of preaching services and everything, sits on the front seat. She's 84 years old, still going strong. But she did not want to stay. They were missing us. And she didn't want to stay at our house while Dr. Prince was there. Even though we had four bedrooms and four bathrooms, she moved out and went over to another one of Glenn's brothers. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. And they moved back in then as soon as he left. One day I asked her, do you know anybody in the family that's been to a fortune teller? She said, no. She said, yes. Oh, yes. She said, I was when I was 17 years old. And I said, you know Dr. Prince picked that up on Glenn? And he was under the power of that witch, that fortune teller. And she said, out of her mouth, and I didn't know it was the devil talking at the time. I know it now. She said, everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. She said it three times. When she said it, that tent came down over me, that veil, that darkness. And, of course, I didn't know how to get it off in those days. When Glenn came home that night, I told him about it. And he prayed for me, and he said, now, don't let that take you over anymore. You be aware of it. And A few months later, we visited my parents in the Middle West, and the very same thing happened. My mother said she went to one when she was 17, and she said, "Don't you remember your great-grandmother who came from Germany and all of this?" And she said the same thing when I told her what Brother Prince had said. And both of these women hated Dr. Prince. They didn't like him. It wasn't my real mother that didn't like him, or Glenn's real mother. It was an evil power in there that had lurked in there all those years. And they, in their Bible reading and praying and everything, had been able to have control over it to an extent, so it couldn't work on them too much. But it worked on the children, you see, and the grandchildren. And I can see now that's where my nervous breakdown came. That's where it came from. That's where nervous breakdowns come from. Through the occult. Through the occult. It truly does. We've watched it and watched it and watched it. I don't get up here and just say one item, one item. These are tried and proven facts. And we need to seek the Lord and repent, mainly repent. You know, in the last chapter of Mark, let's look at last chapter of Mark for a minute. Jesus' last words. Jesus' last words. I can find it here. 16th verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Now, the original does not say take up serpents.
No.
The original says remove Satan or demonic power.
That's right.
There's a mistranslation there that we have the idea we could take serpents in our hands, and that is not so. That's from life and Satan.
Now, I want you to turn to James right now. I want to read this before I go on. Fourth chapter of James, 7th verse. Fourth chapter, 7th verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Period. That's the first item to do. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have a funny little incident Kevin and I laugh about it. Patty is definitely afraid of wasps. There was a wasp got in our office on the second floor the last summer, I think it was, and sometime. And she was running around with a fly swatter, swatting at the thing, saying, "The name of Jesus, I bind you, the name of Jesus, bind you." And Kevin came upstairs and said, "Give me that. You don't have any authority over that with all your fear." You see, we can run around and yell, "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." That doesn't mean we have authority. We must first submit to God. What does it mean to submit? Don't be resistant to God is what it means. It means be in compliance to the word of God. That's submitting, to yield to God, to be in obedience. When we sing, lifting our hands, we praise the Lord. Some people sit there and they wouldn't lift their hands for nothing, would they, Robert? No. Disobedient. See, they're lying, they're singing, lifting our hands, loving one another, and they don't love anybody but themselves, maybe. See, that's not submitting to God, and that's not yielding to God, and that's not fully surrendering to God. It means be in tune with the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying today to the church? It's saying, I want to restore you. The Lord wants to restore you. The Lord wants to use you out in the nations. But we first must get prepared ourselves, and we must first submit to God. Then we can resist the devil. And then he has to flee. Then he has to flee. Now, when Glenn and I were called here, this is the last thing that I could ever, ever, ever fathom the Lord putting us into. We had been in aerospace industry for years, had our own business. Before that, we were supervisors at Lockheed and different aerospace companies. We had no idea of this place. God called us here. God caused us to have experience after experience after experience. When I first heard about deliverance, I was gung-ho for it. I still am gung-ho for it because I see the vast change it made in my own life. I'm a total different person, and I want to keep changing. I want to keep being different. I want to keep leaning on the Lord more and more. I want more of Jesus in me, like the song says. I want more of Jesus. When I sing that, I mean it. I want more of Jesus. Do you mean it? Do you mean it? I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. And when we started to study the occult, and we started thinking about it, Then we started realizing all the various things. Automatic writing. There was a girl in our prayer group that wrote with her left hand, normally right-handed person. She wrote with her left hand, and she wrote all, looked like Chinese writing, and she'd write by the hour. And everybody there thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? And I couldn't see anything wonderful about it. And I thought, what in the world is that? We had no teaching. And she wasn't in our immediate prayer group in Northridge. She was over in Granada Hills in another prayer group that we fellowshipped with. And she was the sweetest girl, was a married woman with two children. And she would sit by the hour and let this invisible hand write this stuff page after page. You couldn't read a word of it. And they all thought it was wonderful. But when we come into the knowledge of the truth, we saw. And then one day, poor Fran got a divorce. We were all just, the whole prayer group was devastated. They thought she was so spiritual. But you see, that thing took her over and took her over and took her over. And somewhere in her background, you see, the Bible says that God puts a curse on us to the third and the fourth generation. Here, my great-grandmother who came from Germany, red palms, and I didn't even know about it. I remember her. I remember her cookies. I remember her rocking me in a rocking chair. She died when I was about 8 years old, but I never realized that she, until my mother told me. We had a lady that would not quit smoking in a prayer group. And one night we were teaching on the occult, I think the first time we ever taught on it, and we were teaching about yoga. Oh, man, she hit the ceiling. She said, well, I might give up my cigarettes, but I'm not going to give up my yoga exercises. There was a girl sitting there. In fact, she flies from California and comes here sometimes to our meetings. We've been friends a long time. And she finally said to her, I wish you would just please be still. If you don't want it to be delivered, fine, but let all the rest of us get it out of us. And she still, I guess to this day, has not given up neither her yoga or her cigarettes. Hypnosis. A lot of doctors hypnotize people, especially dentists. We know a dentist that is a Christian, and he still believes in hypnotism. And he, of course it's real, but it's of the devil. If you've been hypnotized, you will need deliverance. I think over Labor Day, we had a girl here, and she got this tremendous deliverance. She came from Ohio, northern Ohio. And she drove 3 hours to our meeting a couple weeks ago in Ohio. She had totally changed, except I could see something that I didn't know what it was at first until I started to pray with her. And she told me that she was walking by an occult bookstore the day before, and she was compelled to go in and check on some things. Now, we don't need to be checking on some things in occult bookstores. And that thing had taken her over. And she had to have another very hard and very difficult deliverance because she was inquisitive. Inquisitive. Metaphysics healings. We pray for a lot of people. Pendulum. A lot of people have been, and they have worked levitation. I remember we worked in a publication company. We had a proofreader with a master's degree in journalism, wonderful, very intelligent girl. But somehow I always thought maybe she was a daughter of missionaries. She grew up in Africa, but she never admitted to it. But one day I was a supervisor there, and I came in from lunch, and they had a Ouija board in the kitchen. We were in a sort of a makeshift place because we were so busy, and they had rented an apartment. And in the bedroom were the proofreaders, and the typists were out in the living room in another bedroom, and then the kitchen, they'd eat lunch in there. And they had this Ouija board, and I walked in, and it was time for them to go back to work, and they were playing with it, and they all kind of sat there, and I stood there and just looked at it, and looked at them, and they thought I was looking at them because I wanted them to go back to work, but I wasn't even thinking about that. And long in the afternoon, this girl, the proofreader, came out of that bedroom, and she said, come in here. I want to talk to you. So when I walked in, she closed the door behind her and stood against the door. And I was standing there, and she said, we want you to tell us, what were you doing when we were playing with that Ouija board? Because the minute you walked in, it was really going good, and the minute you walked in, it quit working. And I said, well, I was praying. And she said, we knew you did something to stop that. And then she came out to our house one day to talk to me about it, and she told me that she had a neighbor who goes to Catherine Kuhlman's meetings. This was years ago. And she says, when that neighbor comes into my house, she says, all the pictures on the wall turn over upside down, and my big dining room table, gets up and walks over and pushes that woman out the door. See how involved she was in witchcraft? And rebellion is as witchcraft. And we have all rebelled against the Word of God, mostly because we haven't known. Now, I think that when we are brought aware of all these things, that we begin to change because of the knowledge of the Lord, of what the Lord says. But recently we had a witch come here. I'm really a little leery of witches. I want to make sure they're really wanting to be set free and have not been sent here by the devil. I was just pretty sure the devil had sent her. She came 4 days after the Labor Day camp ended, and at the Labor Day camp we had deliverance at every service, almost strong hard deliverances, and she came in and she told me she had two spirit guides with her. They were supposed to be there right then. I didn't see them, but I felt them. And she said, "We're writing a book, and they're helping me write the book," and she was going to make a lot of money on it. Well, if you're a Christian and you're writing a book to make a lot of money on it, that's the wrong motive to start with. And but she was having an awful lot of trouble with things flying across the room at home, and her children were afraid. So we prayed with her some. We just kind of counseled her and talked to her about the occult and how she should throw away her books and do all these things. And she didn't mind throwing away some books. She didn't want to throw away all of them. She had a big library, she said. And she didn't want to give up her spirit guides. So she didn't stay too long, and she left. But the very next day she came back again, and she would be right upstairs in my office before anybody could stop her. She just was powerful. And so I would call the girls up, and we'd talk to her and pray with her. And then we would invite her to the meetings. Well, she did come to one meeting one Thursday night, and it was the first time she'd ever been to a Bible study, she said. And we were studying on something I can't remember. But she came four times, but she only came to one meeting. But she promised, "I'll be there Saturday night, and I'll be there Sunday." But she never did come back. And I know that the enemy sent her just to get us interested and to wear us out. People like that will wear you out. They don't want help. They want to hinder you. They want to hurt you. They want to cause chaos. And when she comes in, she could be bringing in 5 or 10,000 demons. You can't tell how many come in with people like that. Many times, Gwen and I walk through our house, and we have to command the evil spirits to leave because we have lots of company and painters and clean and people that come to repair, and we don't take any chances. We pray in our home and command the evil spirits to leave in the name of Jesus. And you can feel them when they go. The heavens are open then to us. Anything magic is wrong. Now, I had handwriting analysis done at the Orange County Fair once. And it was in some kind of a little booklet or something. And just before we moved here, and I didn't know anything about handwriting analysis, that it was wrong or right. You know, I wrote my name, and they told me. They wrote down something under it, whatever it meant. And just before we moved here, Glenn and he was working back in the room that he used to make tapes in, and I walked back there, and I said, "Oh, my land, what's in here? There's something hit me in the head." And he said, "I just found that handwriting analysis that you had done that time." And I said, "Well, let's burn it up." And we got rid of it. See, those seem so minor, don't they? Such a minor little thing, but Satan takes advantage of us. He takes advantage of us. I'll touch on this. Now, this is a tedious subject, and I don't mean to hurt or make anybody upset, but I want to tell you the truth. The truth will set you free. One day, a man called here one Saturday, and he said, "I'd like to come and be delivered of a masonry." Now, this is when we first moved here. So I said, "Oh, fine." And I thought, well, that's going to be an easy deliverance. And he got here, and Glenn and I started to pray, and I started to retch and choke and vomit and carry on. And I said, "You better pray for me first." And do you know how I got that spirit? When I was a little girl, I would go to visit my grandparents, and they had a grocery store, and up over the grocery store was the lodge hall. My grandmother was Eastern Star, my grandfather was a Mason. And they would go to lodge, and I would want to go with them, and they'd say, "No, you can't go because you don't know the password." So after they would go to lodge, I would go out and creep up the stairs and listen to try and hear what the password was so maybe I could go in. And that little bit of curiosity, and see, it was visited down upon me, see. And I had to be delivered from Masonry before I had any authority to pray this man. And after my mother died, my father remarried, and he married a lady that was strong in the Eastern Star. Now, my father could believe a little bit of some of the things that's going on here, but he didn't believe it. It was all right for those who needed it, but he didn't think most Christians needed any help. Well, I always used to say to him, of all the churches you've pastored and all the church boards you've had, there was always one demon-possessed man on every church board in every church, I think. And he'd laugh and say, yeah, that was true, but he wouldn't go for this too much. But he married a lady that was involved with Eastern Star. And after my father died, she came down to visit me one day, and we were teaching on the occult one night, and she walked up here to be delivered. And, of course, I almost dropped out of my tracks. But when we went down to pray for her, she started snarling at me like a wolf and barking like a dog or a wolf and growling. And that thing came out of her. She was a little tiny lady, very little, very lovely. But you see, those spirits are in there. Now, they may not harm you for years and years and years, but they watch you and study you, and eventually they'll try to. They're not really after us. You know who they're after? They hate Jesus. They hate the Jesus in us. They want to embarrass Jesus, and they want to cause the other body of Christ. You know, there are some people that will backslide over somebody who does something. They'll just say, if they can't live it, I can't live it, and I'm going to quit. I'm just going to quit serving God, and that happens all the time. Yes, she received the Holy Spirit. Right after she was delivered, she received the Holy Spirit that very night. It was the occult. The occult will keep you from praying in tongues and having a freedom, the occult. Now, these curses, I'm not going to go into curses too much, but God puts a curse on us for doing these things. And I dare say, and in four generations, how many years is that? 240 years. In 240 years, that most of us, or 160 years, I can't multiply today, 160 years, most of us have at some time or are now under a curse. And that's why we go so far and then we are against the wall. And we can't go any further in God until these curses are broken. Now, God is opening this up. We're not the only deliverance place, and we're not the only deliverance ministers, but God is opening this up all over the United States, and we're getting letters of people that are meeting together and seeking God, and God is showing them how to get rid of these things, how to come out from under these curses, how to come out from under sicknesses and diseases. And how many here this afternoon can see the reality of being delivered, of being delivered, of being set free? Yes. How many here feel that you do still have some things? I know a lot of you have been here before, and a lot of you have heard this message, and you have already been delivered. So then you have the authority. You have no authority if you haven't been delivered in that realm. If you're committing adultery and you try to pray with somebody that's got a lust spirit, the devil will just laugh at you. He will laugh at you. He'll never come out. But when you get delivered from these things, then you will have authority. And the Lord will use you. The Lord will use you. He started using us the minute we started submitting to God and resisting the devil. We didn't have to advertise it at all. In California, they started coming to our home or calling us in the middle of the night. Could you pray for us? Would you pray if we came out? We're in terrible trouble. We're about to get a divorce. We don't know what to do. We're about to lose everything we have. The enemy is out to destroy us because of lack of knowledge. But Jesus came to set the captive free. That's why he came. That's why Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. These are oppressions. Some people might say, well, a Christian can't be possessed. But I'll tell you, the very minute the enemy takes over your mind, you are possessed. You are possessed. It might not last but a minute or two, But at that moment, you are possessed. You see what I mean? So let's just get hung up on oppression and possession. Let's just get rid of the evil powers. Now, one thing you have to do is forgive others. The Lord says he's going to turn us over to the tormentors if we won't forgive others, and that he then can't forgive us. Well, we don't like the tormentors. We've all had the tormentors sometime or other. How many don't like tormentors? No, we don't like things tormenting our mind and going round and round and round in our mind and causing all these problems. So that's one thing we have to do, forgive others. And then the Lord will forgive us. Another thing we have to do, and this first and foremost, is repent. Not out of style. Repenting is very real. And I'll tell you, if we had more repenting and more praying people through down at the altar when they come to Christ, we'd have less deliverances to do. I'll tell you that. I know that from experience. In early Pentecost, when they called us holy rollers, threw rocks and eggs at us, the meetings would last maybe till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I remember my parents taking us home in the big wagon with bricks and 20 below zero up in the North Country. And there was nothing said about it at school. We went to school the next day, and nobody had the child abuse program after us, after my parents. But I tell you, they prayed people through. And when they got up from being prayed through, they never drank anymore. They never swore anymore. They never committed adultery anymore. They were saved through and through. And we need more of that old-time Pentecost. What an old-time repentance. So this afternoon, we're going to repent about a lot of these things. And then Gwen and I are going to command these things to come out of you. And we're going to believe they're going to come out. They're nothing on earth but air. They're spirit. The Holy Spirit is wind. And the evil spirit mocks God all the time, so he comes as wind. And he comes in, and he has ways of possessing our minds and possessing us for moments or sometimes constantly. And when he does, it's amazing how all of us can speak out of turn. You know that? Our tongue is our biggest enemy. Our tongue is our biggest enemy. But we're going to repent this afternoon. And we're going to believe God. It says, the word of God says, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be delivered. That's in Joel. Whoever believes shall be delivered. And I believe there's a lot of believers in here this afternoon. And a lot of you need help. A lot of you need help in the realm of incest. A lot of you need help in the realm of sexual abuses. And all kinds of things. And it isn't embarrassing. It's like having a baby. The minute there's not too much fun in the delivery room, but when it's over, you don't even remember anything that goes on. And somebody will come up to me, you remember that demon you cast out of me yesterday? And I'll say, no, what demon? I don't even remember. People, the Lord has ways of causing us to forget quickly. And it's our pride that keeps us from wanting to be delivered. Or keeps us from submitting and admitting that something is wrong with us. Let's all bow our heads. Okay, I want you to pray after me, if you would. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We are a needy people this afternoon. We need deliverance. We want to be changed. We want you to forgive us. And we will to forgive others. We forgive everybody that's ever hurt us. We don't want to be in the hands of the tormentors. We want you to shine your light upon us and show us our iniquities and our shortcomings. And we thank you for the precious blood that cleanses us from any delving into the occult, any curiosity. We ask you to apply the blood and flow down over us. We are sorry for our sins. And we know, Lord, that you came to deliver us and set us free. And we are a whosoever. And we believe you're going to deliver us this afternoon. And we thank you. Now just let that blood flow down over you, and you think about anybody that is coming to your mind that you hate, that you have not forgiven, that has hurt you. You can't afford it. You can't afford unforgiveness. It's not worth it. And besides, you're not hurting them anyway. You're only hurting yourself. And God has to, he is truth. He has to do what he says. And Jesus himself said, I won't forgive you unless you forgive others. And I will turn you over to the tormentors. That's pretty earth-shaking, I know. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving these people and helping them to forgive. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise 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 you, Lord Jesus, for setting the captives free. That's right. Just let them come out. They breathe out. Take some real deep breaths and let them come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind the power of the cross. I bind the power of fortune teller and palm reading. I bind the powers of unforgiveness and insanity. I bind the powers of insanity in Jesus' name. I bind the powers of horoscopes and spiritualism and seances. I bind the powers of levitation and reincarnation and hypnosis and yoga. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to start coming out now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, some of the helpers come up the aisle. People are starting to get delivered. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
In the name of the Lord, I take authority over every evil power and I bind it in Jesus' name. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you and bind you. You're not harm nor tear. I bind you to the day of judgment. And Father, ask for the angel of the Lord to come and take authority over every spirit and bind it in Jesus' name and keep it till you judge it. I thank you for it. Every spirit of the occult, I take authority over the spirits of the occult in Jesus' name. Palm reading, card reading, tea leaves, crystal ball, Ouija board, ESP, horoscope, water witching, oil or minerals. I bind you in Jesus' name. All you powers of the occult, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Loose these people and come out of them. Set them free. Set them free in Jesus' name. Everyone's been involved in seances. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Bind it in Jesus' name. Spiritualism, I bind it. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord. Every spiritualist, I bind it in communication with the dead. I bind those powers. I break the curse of it from off of you in Jesus' name. I loose them. Spirit guides, I bind every spirit guide. I break the power of every spirit guide here and take the rights of it away in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. Automatic handwriting, table tipping, levitation of objects. I break that power and take authority over it in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. Loose them and come out of them in Jesus' name. I break your power. Hypnotism. Hypnotism. I bind the spirit of hypnotism. I break it over these people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of witchcraft. Curing of warts. Curing of warts by witchcraft. I bind that. Break that power in Jesus' name. Indian powers. I break the powers of Indian powers. And in Jesus, Christian science a hair diagnosis and pendulums and horoscopes and astrology. I break the powers of it in Jesus' name. Books on reincarnation, dreams, self-realization, clairvoyance. I break those powers from off of these people. Forgive them, Lord, for being involved in it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. Forgive them. Cleanse them from it in Jesus' name. I break the powers of it in Jesus' name. I take authority in the name of the Lord. I break that power. Edgar Casey, Gene Dixon, Arthur Ford, Ruth Montgomery. I bind the powers of being involved in any of these studies in Jesus' name. I break the powers of it in Jesus' name. Rosicrucian, spiritualism, Mormonism, Christian science, unity, theosophy, inner peace movement, spiritual frontiers. I bind the powers of these things and take the rights of Satan away from them. Unitarianism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Moonies, the Way, Jesus only. I bind these powers and break the curses of it from off of these people in Jesus' name. I take authority and loose them. Come out of them. Set them free. I break the bondages from around them in Jesus' name. I loose them from it. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Rebellion. Every spirit of rebellion, I bind that power in Jesus' name. Spirits of rebellion. Loose these people. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Come on, spirit of rebellion. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out of these people in Jesus' name. Spirits of anger. Spirits of anger, I bind you in Jesus' name. Loose them. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I stand against the powers of the occult in Jesus' name. Father, the sins of the ancestors are visited upon us because of the sins of our ancestors. I come and stand as a priest this afternoon and break the powers and the curse of it from off of us because in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus became a curse so we don't have to bear these curses. And in Jesus' name, I take authority over these curses, and I break the powers of them in Jesus' name, and loose these people from them in the name of the Lord. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Come out of us, loose us, set us free. I break the powers of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of anger, I break that powers over these people in Jesus' name. Loose us, come out of it. I take authority over the spirit of homosexuality, lesbianism, feminist spirits. I bind the powers of it in Jesus' name. Every homosexual spirit, I bind it. I break the powers of it off of these people. Spirit of lesbianism, I bind it. I loose these people, anyone who's bound by it in Jesus' name. Feminine spirit, a masculine spirit, contrary to the personality, I break the powers of a feminine spirit over a male. I break the spirit of a masculine spirit over a woman. I break that power of it off of these people in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. I take authority in the mighty name of Jesus. And I break that power from off of us in Jesus' name. Loose us. Come out of us. Set us free. Jesus is Lord. We declare him to be Lord of every situation. Jesus is Lord of our lives. We make him Lord of our lives. You don't have any right to us in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Loose us. Come out of us. Set us free in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I break the bondage of it. I break the bondage of it in Jesus. Spirits of divorce. I break the powers of divorce. I come against that in Jesus' name. I break that in Jesus' name. The occult powers that cause divorce. I break that back 30 generations over these people in Jesus' name. Bondage to their mother. Bondage to their mother. The occult bondage to their mother. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. The bondage that a man holds over a daughter in the occult realm. I break that. Bondage that a mother holds over a son in the occult realm. I break that bondage in Jesus' name. You spirits of the occult, I break your power and take it away from you. I cut you off in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And I rebuke you. I bind your power in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I break the bondage of it in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Loose them and set them free in the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the authority that you give us in Jesus' name to set the captives free. I come against it. I stand against these bondages in Jesus' name this afternoon. Every spirit of the occult, I bind it. I stand against it in Jesus' name. Spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism, I stand against you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break the powers of it over these people in Jesus' name. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Spirit of anger, spirit of murder, spirit of suicide, I bind you. I bind you. I break your power over God's people. Spirit of suicide, I bind you. I break your power. I break the hold you have in Jesus' name. Spirit of suicide, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Spirit of anger, I bind you. Spirit of anger, I bind you. Spirit of murder, I bind you. I break your power, the bondage over these people in Jesus' name. I loose them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I praise the name of the Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I praise you, Lord. Every spirit of infirmity, I come against it in the name of the Lord. I stand against the spirits of infirmity. I bind the spirits of infirmity in our physical bodies. I bind the spirits of infirmity in our physical bodies in Jesus' name. Spirits of infirmity, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. I break your bondage, your powers over God's people in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restoration. Jesus was at the whipping post by his stripes and his scars. I come against the spirits of infirmity. And I speak healing. Receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus into our physical bodies in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Come on, loose God's people. I break the bondage of it in Jesus' name. I loose us from the bondage of it in Jesus' name. I break the powers of it in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Loose them. Come out in Jesus' name. Thank you for the angel of the Lord here to minister to God's people. I praise you for it, Father. The fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost, burn to set the captives free. We stand against you in Jesus' name. We loose the captives. We set them free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We loose the captives. We set them free.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Let's all stand and praise the Lord. Ask the Lord to fill every area that been vacated in any way, so the Holy Ghost will have control, and we'll not submit back to Satan anything that we've been taken away from him. We'll declare that what victory is ours, and it's ours to keep. We praise you. Father, I praise you this afternoon. I thank you, Lord. And I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill every area of every vessel, Lord, that has made any opening there, Lord, or Satan has been vacated in any way. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to fill every area so that we're full of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it.
swept and clean where Satan can come back with any of his powers in any way. We want it filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We want, Lord, you to fill every area, every crevice, every crack. And Father, this afternoon we submit to thee. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for filling us with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And Father, those who've never received the Holy Spirit, we speak this afternoon that by the Spirit of the living God, they will move in and receive that gift which is given unto them. Because as the power of Satan is broken, there's been a way made, Lord, for them to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. We thank you for it. We praise you for it this afternoon. We praise you and we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, we praise you. We praise you. We bless the Lord. We praise you this afternoon. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you this afternoon. I thank you for your presence amongst us. I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you this afternoon. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. I bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.